it off, take it in, take off all the thoughts of what we've been. Take a look, hesitate, take a picture you could never recreate. Write a song, make a note.
Big round of applause, everybody. Big round of applause. We got a big crew in tonight. We are pumped here at Sarcastic News Live. Our government, folks, is back in business, baby. Woo! At least until January 15th. And then we can all go through this shit again. Today is not a day, though. I'm not going to be negative, although we're running a few minutes late here. We got a very cool band, Heavy Heavy Hearts, in the house tonight. But today is not going to be negative. It's a day to celebrate. It's a day to celebrate our government coming together and deciding to pay our bills. Seriously. And all it took was just 2 weeks of over 800,000 government employees not working, and China, a.k.a. Slumlord Pete, as I call them, called us out to the whole world and says that we now live in a de-Americanized world. I mean, I have a friend from Croatia, though, that says that he knows a guy in Slovenia who thinks the U.S. is great. Now, if you don't know my name, this is Sarcastic News Live, and my name is Skinny Chaz Bono. And I'm good. That one was for me, folks. I don't know if I really look like Chaz Bono, but I had to switch it up today. My name is Justin Cross, and I am here coming at you live from the Skid Row Studios in the heart of LA's 5x8 Persian rug district. And tonight, with us live in studio, the Heavy Heavy Hearts joining us.
Hey, how's it going?
How are you guys doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Doing great.
Standing ovation right there.
I know. I got like muddled applause and Jake apprehensively sitting there going, I don't know what he's going to say. I have no idea. I hope it's funny. And with me, as always, the SN Crack Squad, including Kareem the Dream Maddox, right across from me. Kareem the Dream. They call him the Dream. If you could spend the whole show just playing that while I'm talking. Yeah. They call him the Dream because once he slips the roofies in the drink, that's all they'll be doing. I'm kidding. That's not a funny joke. But Jake the Snake Cranny. Jake the Snake Cranny's with me.
Was it like a space landing?
I don't know what that was.
No, I don't know what's going on with this today.
It was their
backwoods crickets.
Yeah. Crickets on roofies. Crickets
sound
on roofies.
Of my house.
Well, regardless of that intro, I'm very pumped for tonight. I feel like it's going to be probably top 250 of shows that we've ever done. Ever.
Top 250.
Yes, oh, top wow. 250.
Just for the Heavy Heavy Hearts, we've done 25 shows, guys. So Jake's leaving a little room for
set
space.
Set it low so we always exceed the...
Glad to be here.
And then when we get to 250... You'll be right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, you guys may recognize that voice. As you know, over the last couple of weeks, the government has shut down. And over the last couple of months, our own Matt Sugar Mills has been shut down from coming in and doing his duties. But just to clear things up, this is not a coincidence about the government shutdown and Matt not being here. Matt, he's actually been in Washington preparing, dealing, negotiating, and now arbitrating an agreement between the Republicans and the Democrats. And finally, our own Matt Sugar Mills is back from Washington, D.C., and he is here live in studio.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah, he is. If you forgot, he does sound effects for our show. If you couldn't tell. Now, Matt, when he was in Washington, he actually sent us some footnotes. He was reporting on the ground, and he sent us some footnotes. And if you don't mind, Matt, I want to read a few of those footnotes, okay? The top five footnotes. These are top five footnotes from Matt Sugar Mills.
Yeah, and these were sent for your approval, Justin.
These have been vetted, and here we go. This is the number five footnote from his negotiations in Washington. Number five, Mitch McConnell still has the same monotone voice when he's telling senators about sexual escapades with his wife. Is that from like a...
I know, these sound terrible.
Is that from
tonight.
Like a Jerry Springer show?
Yeah.
Like from like 1994? Number four footnote, Harry Reid celebrated today by buying members from both parties rounds of fireball shots. However, he refrained by just drinking chocolate milk. Harry Reid, because he's kind of dull. Number three footnote from Washington, according to Matt Sugar Mills, Ted Cruz revealed his true intention
of causing the shutdown to return homage to his home country of Canada. And now it looks like the Bieber administration, he wanted the Bieber administration to take power, but it's not. It's not.
Yeah,
okay, we're
President Bieber. We almost had a President Bieber.
Oh. And number two, Michelle Bachmann is still irrelevant. That's it. And Marcus Bachmann is still on the hunt for the perfect pair of red heels for his wife.
Yeah, right.
Because he's a feminine. And number one, while President Obama wants to get the government out of the habit of governing by crisis, he does admit that waiting until the 11th hour to make decisions does make things a little more exciting. And at the end of the day, drama does rhyme with Obama.
That's right. Yeah.
So that's the number one footnote coming out. I think I hear booze. That's definitely taken from a Jerry Springer episode.
Right. Yeah. And I got a mean spray tan from John Boehner. You know, I was hanging out with him. Yeah.
Those weren't booze. Those were Cruz for Ted Cruz.
And a little bit in sports today. My Dodgers got a big win. I was actually at the game and pretty happy to say, I don't know what the hell else is happening in sports, but I was at the game, and I have to say that they only had to wheel Tommy Lasorda into the shade four times, guys. So, he was molting. And in entertainment news, the BET Awards were hosted this week by Ryan Seacrest.
I get it.
I'll let that sink in for a second. Let that marinate. Kendrick Lamar won five awards. Five awards, folks. He took home Song of the Year, Album of the Year, Best CD Art Cover, Most Humble Artist, and Greatest Abs. I'm kidding.
All BET Awards.
That all went to Tyrese. But no, actually, I don't know. I don't know anything about it. I didn't watch the BET Awards, but I do want to ask our special guest before we go to break here. We've got our wait, I have no fucking idea game coming up, formerly known as the Snake Game. But I do want a quick question for the heavy hearts here, or just heavy hearts. Do you guys, if it came to an award show, what award show would you want to win? Or would you want to be nominated for, and what award would you want to win? Go around the room. What's that?
The Razzies.
Really?
The Razzies. What do you say, Bo?
I mean, I feel like everybody who wants to be a real musician wants a Grammy, but it's not necessarily too funny, but it would be really cool to be on stage with all those people.
Definitely.
Yeah, I would say the Grammys are the Oscars of music. I mean, obviously being awarded anything is awesome, but
whoa, have you heard some of the BET awards that you could win? You guys could be Best Hip Hop Style, Best Hip Hop Online Site, Impact Track, or Sweet 16, all awards.
I would want to win. Yeah, Sweet 16.
No way. For sure. Absolutely.
Let me ask, get in on this too.
Well, not until we have the WET, which would be the White Entertainment Television.
That's called every other award show.
Oh, right.
Every other award show out there.
That's called the People's Choice Awards.
All right. Well, that's good. That's good. I'm surprised, though, that I think the Sweet 16 Award is a pretty good one here. Do they have, like, country? Do they have, like, other?
Yeah, country
CMT Awards.
Yeah. Hootie and the Blowfish just takes home gold every time in that one.
Country Music Awards. That's your idea of country music.
Yeah, he stole Wagon Wheel from Old Crow Medicine Show. What a jerk.
Did he?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Old Crow Medicine Show. People don't really know a lot about Old Crow Medicine Show unless you're from the East Coast.
Yeah.
Or North Carolina specifically, because they talk about North Carolina. But then Darius Rucker, he came out and he was like, I'm going to do a cover of this song. And everyone's like, oh, man, I love that Darius Rucker song.
Yeah.
Like, screw you, man. It's Old Crow Medicine Show.
Interesting. All right. Well, I want to find out, as the show goes on, Kareem, let us know. I'm curious because I want to win an award. I don't care what it is. Like, literally.
Kids' Choice?
Kids' Choice Award. I think I could enter that one and take home gold. You know, I still look. Take home the slime.
Yeah.
I want to give an impassioned speech like Ashton Kutcher did this year.
Yeah.
I want to do that.
Yeah.
Well, we have a lot more coming up here with heavy hearts. We also have this the formerly the Snake Game called Wait. I don't have a fucking idea. And we also have our Ring of Fire. Corey Hill's going to be calling in just a little while. So we've got all that coming up, guys. If you want to call in, talk to Heavy Heavy Hearts, 800-893-9562, 800-893-9562. And going to break here, I think, are we going to play a song, Jake, or we got it? We got the band. Awesome. Here's Heavy Heavy Hearts. And guys, what song is this one?
This one's called Daddy Issues. Goes out to all those troubled teens.
All right. Goes out to my fan
teen
base.
Teen ladies.
Right, this is my right, fan base right here. All right. Heavy Heavy Hearts with Daddy Issues.
One, two, three. Well, she bathes in dirty water, and she shaves with pressing razor, and she prays for guilty pleasure. We'll come home with her tonight. Oh, and give her a damn good ride. 'Cause she just needs a sweet potation, and she needs a medication to subside the fascination that she needs someone at night. Oh, just feel alright, just needs a man. Doesn't need to know his name, doesn't need to know where he's from, just needs a man. Doesn't want to marry him, she prefer leaves when he's done, just needs a man. Come over tonight. Cause she was raised with daddy issues. Now her shirt is full of tissue, and it hurts if she kisses you. Cause she loves to leave a mark. Oh, and she bites you in the dark. And she will wake up all your neighbors if you ever get to take her and become a guilty pleasure. 'Cause she loves to scream all night. Oh, and put up a damn good fight. Just needs a man. Doesn't wanna know his name, doesn't need to know where he's from. Just needs a man. Doesn't wanna marry him, she'd prefer legally stunned. Just needs a man. Come over tonight. It just needs a man. Doesn't need to know his name, doesn't need to know where he's from, just needs a man. Doesn't want to marry him, she'd prefer he leaves when he's done. Just needs a man to come over. Just needs a man to come over. Just needs a man to come over. Just needs a man to come over tonight. To come over.
Gentlemen,
thank you very much.
That is that's Bo, Ralph, Anthony, and Clark right there.
That was awesome.
Heavy, heavy hearts, guys. Fantastic. Well, that was Daddy Issues, which I for some reason I thought it was gonna kind of be a joke song. That was amazing. That was
impressive. Most impressive.
How long do these sound bites go for?
I don't know. Jesus. I'm just hitting a button, dude. I thought,
I thought you were going to be gun-shy coming out of the gates. It's been a while, but no.
No, unfortunately, but...
Guns a-blazing.
Yeah.
Guns a-blazing. Mm-hmm. Well, that's Heavy Heavy Hearts. We're going to talk to them
in just a little while. That's what
2 months in Washington, D.C. It'll do
that's
you.
Right.
Yeah.
The, what do they call it? The Beltway. You were in the Beltway.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tightening the
having
Beltway.
Chocolate milk with Harry Reid. Yeah.
Yeah. Chocolate milk with Harry Reid.
Fireball shots.
Yeah.
Well, we've got formerly known as the Snake Game. We have changed it because we're going Hollywood and we are calling it, I don't know, you could say we've ripped it off, but we haven't. We're not Darius Rucker here. It's called Wait, Wait.
We don't stick to that one.
I have no fucking idea. And that's the name of our game tonight. And tonight we are going to focus on Columbus Day.
Columbus Day, which was last Monday. I know everybody's thrilled about that. These guys are jumping out of their seats at the mention of Columbus Day.
Dude, I mean, this place is rabid. I mean,
so it's more of an educational game today. It's like a sixth grade social studies class in here.
Okay.
But I'm going to abbreviate it so Matt can play more sound effects. So we're just going to do three questions here. So we'll have the band just kind of play as a team. You guys all will all have one collective answer. And then these three jokers over here will also weigh in. Winner will play for the Boys and Girls Club of their favorite city.
Yeah, so that's something that we always do here, a new tradition. We basically play for a Boys and Girls Club around a city.
And then we don't give them anything.
We tell them that we're going to give them alcohol. Usually we have it in the studio. We apologize. No alcohol tonight, guys.
Hey, I mailed those kids in Omaha a bottle of vodka.
Oh, that's Mindy. That's probably that's Mindy Jorgensen in the back. She's our tech.
Sounds incredibly unethical.
Our technical engineer back there, and she has.
They can use it to clean their poor wounds.
Clean their poor wounds, or take up a terrible, terrible drinking habit that lasts the rest of their life. Whichever. By the way, special thanks to Mindy, though. She does a great job, and Jeremy as well. And the back guys, thank you so much.
Oh, that band sounded good.
Band did sound good. Mindy's in a band herself, too. We'll talk a little bit about that a little bit later, but she's a very good musician. But Jake the Snake, take it away.
All right, let's take it away. We're just going to do three questions tonight, so let's get to it. Number one, which state was the first to declare Columbus Day a legal holiday? Was it A, Colorado, B, Virginia, or C, Florida? Let's start with the band.
Let's start with the band.
Virginia. We're going to go with Virginia.
For 300.
Right. Matt Sugar Mills?
Well, any state but Florida. So I would say Colorado.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Florida.
Okay.
Mexico. Final answer. No, we were Colorado. I like Colorado.
All right. Correct answer for number one. Colorado.
All right.
Nice.
Yes.
Colorado, first state. All right.
Well, now, if you guys had just laughed at my Mexico joke, then I would have gone with Mexico, all right? Now I had a clean house on you.
All right. Question. He's just looking over my shoulder at the answer.
I'm not looking over. You know I can't see.
All right. Question number two. Which of these states does not recognize Columbus as a holiday?
Mexico.
Sorry. A, Hawaii. B, North Dakota. C, Alabama.
Does not recognize it as a holiday.
Yep. Okay. There are four. I gave you one there.
Oh.
I mean, I won, so
let's
I'll
start
go.
With Justin over here.
Alabama.
Okay. Band.
We're also going with Alabama.
Okay. Sugar Mills?
I am also going to go with Alabama.
Kareem the Dream, care to make it 4-for-4?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? You guys are all wrong.
It was Florida.
It was Hawaii.
That's what you all get for being followers, guys. Okay.
So I believe the states that don't recognize Columbus Day as a holiday are Alaska, Hawaii, Oregon, and South Dakota.
Really?
They all do different things. Yep.
Wow. What are they celebrating?
Well, for instance, like South Dakota celebrates like Native American Day instead.
Yeah.
Really?
Isn't it like Reintegration Day or something?
Yeah,
like,
something like that in Hawaii.
Columbus Discovery was such Day. A good guy, though.
He was such a champ.
I know.
He was such a... Oh, man. How did you...
All right.
The Native Americans should be thanking him.
All right. Let's get in another question here. This one's interesting. What did Columbus call the island where he landed and thought it was Cuba? I'm sorry, I thought it was India. What did he call that island? Was it A, Hispaniola, B, San Salvador, or C, Havana?
We're going to go with A.
They're going to go with Hispaniola. Let's go Dream.
Yeah, I'm going to agree
Hispaniola.
With that.
Hispaniola.
I'm going to go New Spain. Was that one of the options?
That was not one of the options.
No. I'm Hispaniola. Let's go.
Ross?
Oh, you're so serious tonight, Snake. I feel like I feel like
I'm Trebek tonight.
I just want to go with Mexico every time.
Mexico is the incorrect
answer. San Salvador.
San Salvador is the correct answer. Justin Cross.
What did day we say? All fucking all right. Night, guys.
All right, last question.
We've seen that on TV?
We've got Justin in a slight lead with one. Matt Sugar Mills with, I'm sorry, Justin has two. Matt Sugar Mills has one. Everybody else pulling up the end there with zero. But good news on the last question. Okay. This is a guess the number question. So closest to the number will get 1 point. But if you guys land on the number exactly, you're automatically the winner.
Right, just because that's what I like to do. I'm going to guess the same number.
I like to build you up with confidence and then just...
All right,
here we go. Last question. How old was Christopher Columbus when he died? Closest to the number wins.
69!
No, seriously, I'm going to go with 69. Is that your answer?
Yeah.
No. They never lived in that.
I don't even know what that is.
Neil Armstrong landing on the moon? Like, what the fuck is that?
All right, who wants to start
these
out?
These guys are like, they're playing, they're going
all
in on
this. I'll
go
first. 52.
52 says Kareem.
I'll go 47.
47?
I'm going to say 35.
The band?
35.
We're going to go 34.
Ooh. Price is Right style.
Take the $1
I'll take
under.
1 year old.
Yeah.
Well... Christopher Columbus was 54 when he died. Kareem the Dream, you are closest.
Wait, what'd you guess, Kareem?
52.
52.
Okay, I thought you landed on it.
His point's irrelevant.
Didn't you have one? You didn't have any points?
No.
Oh, well.
I won.
Justin wins.
I won.
Justin, you get nothing.
I'm going to donate.
Who are you donating to, Justin?
I'm going
to
donate. I'm going to donate the whole Sarcastic News Crack Squad to the Boys and Girls Club of South Dakota.
Perfect.
So so that they can realize that we need to have Columbus Day, and he was the founder of the world.
Okay.
Can I cue my Wilford Brimwick? I don't know why I want it.
I hope you have diabetes.
Sorry, I don't know why. I figure we're going with random sound effects tonight. So.
Yeah, it works.
All right, well, we got the Ring of Fire. It's a slightly more serious segment coming up next. But call in, 800-893-9562. Please, just call in. Seriously. Bo, if you want to run outside.
Call the fuck in.
If you want to run outside and call our show.
Okay.
Not that he's done it before for the last show. But give us a call, 800-893-9562. This is Sarcastic News Live. My name's Justin Cross. I'm in the house with the Sarcastic Nude Crack Squad of Jake the Snake Cranny, Matt Sugar Mills, Kareem the Dream. And this band right here, Heavy Heavy Hearts, playing...
The song's called Dirty Lies.
Dirty Lies. Here they are, Heavy Heavy Hearts, Dirty Lies.
Days, 24 hours since I went ahead and cut you out of my life, woman, out of my love. This baby girl, you were never enough for me. You love me wrong, never right. Sleeping with another man every night and telling me there's nothing to hide. You're the man in between them thighs, but them dirty lies. So when I think about you, I drink without you, and time my mind goes numb. And now that I'm without you, all you've been doing is fine without you. With someone new, 'cause I see through them dirty lies. But now I see you crawling back with all of them apologies still intact. The taste of your lips, sour as hell from the dirtiness that you seem to tell me. But just for fun, I'll play along, pretend I don't know what you done wrong.
then don't be surprised when I react with half-hearted lies and the devil's laugh, cause I see through them dirty lies. So when I think about jail, I drink without jail, and time my mind goes now. And now that I'm without jail, oh, you bet I'm doing fine without jail. With someone, no, nothing like you.
Is Dirty Lies, and if you didn't know, it is a song about Jake the Snake Cranny's past.
That was awesome.
That was great, guys.
That's, I just wanted that to keep going.
That was do you guys do a lot of your songs, are they kind of like jam songs? I mean, do you kind of get into, is it improv, you know, like is some of it sometimes like you guys just get into it and you just kind of let go for a while, or it seems like a lot of
most of the time Bo, the singer, he writes kind of the skeleton of the song.
Yeah.
So usually the words in some sort of form of the song.
Yeah.
And then brings it to the band.
Really?
And we kind of work on it from that. We all write our own parts. And one thing that's great about this band is we're all very open. So if we're like, oh, you know, let's try this. You know, you can't tell if it's going to work or not unless you hear it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So, hey, let's try this. Oh, that didn't work. You know, oh, let's try this. And then Bo goes back and refines what he wants to do. And then we do it over and over and over.
Is anybody like too open? You know, is there a point when Bo has to be like, guys, shut the fuck up? Like, I really, no, I'm just kidding. No, it seems like a great way to, but does it make sometimes the product a little bit harder because there is kind of like a lot of back and forth there? Sometimes is it easier to just have one person sort of take it over?
It depends on the tune for sure.
Yeah.
I feel like the tunes that we really like, it just kind of came together,
yeah.
You know? And the ones that we've had to work towards that, you know, that we're not even done with, that we still play out, you know, that we can change. But I feel like sometimes, you know, we just have to have a final say. We all vote.
Yeah.
That's how we decide. So if three of us and one of us, then it goes with the three.
And if we can't figure it out, the government shuts down.
We all know, and then Matt Sugar Mills has to go
that's
and try
right.
to figure this thing
yep.
out. So,
yeah, yeah.
Well, Dirty Lies. Now, that is the first. That's your first EP ever. Is that right? Is that correct?
Yep, that's right.
And you guys are a new band, right? Just recently, or relatively new. I read that your first ever debut performance at Molly Malone's down the road in last year, right?
Yeah, it'll be a year next Saturday.
Wow!
Wow!
Yeah.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Well, I want to get more to the interview in just a few minutes. We do this segment called Ring of Fire. And before we get going, now, Mindy, you said that we have a caller. I think that should be Corey Hill. Is that right? Corey?
That is correct.
Corey Hill. I like that. Thank you, Corey. Thanks for calling in. How are you doing, my man?
I'm doing pretty well. Thanks for having me.
Yep, definitely. Well, Corey is up in the East Bay area, and he is a journalist and a human rights activist up there. And first of all, Corey, I want to go ahead and start. Is today a day for celebrating, in your opinion, or is it a day for, say, like, relief?
Relief. I would say when something's, like, horribly broken beyond repair, and then you manage to, like, bend the bent rim back onto your car and, like, hobble it down the road, it's more like, okay.
I feel like it's a day where, you know, like, when you lose your keys and, and like it takes you a long time, and then you finally find your keys and you're like, awesome, I found my keys, but you haven't gone anywhere, you know? Like, yeah. I feel like that's kind of how today went. But I want to get in this, and let me go ahead and start by asking one Matt Sugar Mills here.
Yes.
This came up, the Chinese government basically came out and said that we are we now live in a de-Americanized world. It was an article in the Telegraph newspaper. Now, do you feel like that's the case? And Kareem, jump in on that too. Like, do you guys feel like this is we now live in sort of a world where the U.S. is no longer the superpower, or maybe a superpower as much? Or was that not what he was saying? Is that not the message there?
You know what? I think just looking at it from a historical context, no. I mean, I think it's a much more, this might sound weird, but globalized world where there's just so much easier access to information and products and everything that there isn't some, you know, the U.S. for the rest of the world isn't some far off foreign land that nobody understands anymore. Everyone really has understood. Over the 20th century has adopted a lot of what we've had that works and either made it to their advantage or not. So the fact that they're taking from what we've done and it's working and exploiting their own advantages, then I don't see it as America becoming less of a superpower, but everyone just kind of catching up, which is a good thing for the rest of the world.
Well, let me follow up on that, though. Now, we raised a debt ceiling, okay? We've got at least until January or February. I don't know. There are like a few sort of arbitrary deadlines now where we've got basically...
Where this will happen again.
Right, exactly. So does that, I mean, well, although it didn't hurt our credit rating, does it hurt our credit rating, Kareem?
yeah, I think it does. And I was watching, I hate to say it, but I was watching Rachel Maddow. I hate to admit that I've been watching any news, like CNN or Fox or anything.
I didn't even say any news.
It does, yeah. It does hurt. And in just in different ways. But... yeah, it's kind of like this, you know, this Chinese news agency, state-run news agency calling for a de-Americanized world. And I thought it was intriguing, first of all, because I thought it was like a pretty ballsy move. They saw their opportunity, like Washington's kind of, you know, running on fumes, they're, you know, in shambles, and they're like, we're taking our shot. And they took it. And I was like, you know what? Respect for that.
Yeah.
But I'm intrigued by, like, what does a de-Americanized world look like? Because when you think about the word Americanization, what do you think of? Like, McDonald's in the middle of Japan and stuff like that? So, I don't
Christopher
know.
Christopher Columbus is what I think of.
Yeah, exactly.
What a great man.
Yeah.
ESPN Sports Center ringtone.
Yeah, a bunch of guys going to kill all the natives in any country that we go visit.
So if you hear me say something like that, I may not be serious.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, it's tough to think about what that really means because we do live in a semi-Americanized world to some extent. But it's kind of intriguing. I don't know if that's necessarily the worst thing in the world.
Well,
you know?
Let me ask Corey, do you feel like, just kind of changing that question up a little bit, do you feel like what the Chinese came out and said, that we live in a de-Americanized world now, and they referenced obviously the difficulty, the consistency that we've had with you know, raising the debt limit and coming to some sort of really common sense agreements that we shouldn't be arguing about in the first place. Is there merit to a statement like that? Is that a shot that, like Kareem says, you kind of have respect for in the sense of where they're coming from? Or is it something that we should not even worry about and not pay too much attention to?
Well, there's a lot of things going on in that question, but I guess I would say from like the Chinese perspective, I'd say it's kind of a bit of maybe like wishful thinking, or like maybe what, you know, from the world perspective, when they do those surveys about what do you think is the greatest threat to world security, the U.S. comes up time and time again as the number one. So I think for a lot of people to see a world where the U.S. doesn't play the same role that it plays now is kind of like almost like a dream. Mm-hmm. But I would say that from the perspective of, you know, the dollar is still the reserve currency, and, you know, we're the only country in the world that has over 800 military bases around the world. There's still some things that, you know, the U.S. plays a preeminent role in. Mm-hmm. But I think that kind of what the Chinese are hinting at and what people have been talking about for years now is that given the trajectory that the United States is on, you know, things aren't inevitable, but when you are have a defunct political system and you aren't investing in education and infrastructure and all these things, like, the end result of that eventually is that you aren't going to be a country that is, you know, playing a leading role in these fields.
Mm-hmm. And that's a great point. And what I want to ask you, though, do you feel like, and this is, I'm going to start with Matt here, and just this kind of last question, we got to wrap up here. You know, John Boehner said, quote, we fought the good fight and we lost. We tried our darndest. So should we expect this to happen again? I mean, should we expect this to happen, I don't know, 6 months from now, 3 months from now, a year from now? Do you think this, or is this going to be a reoccurring thing, or do you feel like we will learn from this from an international, and because of the reaction that we get internationally?
I mean, I think it's going to come down to how tired the country is, how tired these people are, and when they realize that this is not the way that they can get what they want. And I'm hoping that that's what's going to solve this. But, you know, I don't know. You know, I can't imagine that they would politically risk another shutdown or come close to default. The midterm elections are still a year away, and this has had some effect. But if this happens again in 4 or 5 months, then that's just going to have a really bad impact on it. What I'm hopeful for, but I haven't seen in the past 6 or 7 years, is that they're going to come together for this budget conference that was put in this deal.
Yeah.
And put together a grand bargain, and, you know, neither side's going to get all of what they want, but, you know, they can come to what could be a compromise.
What do you think, Kareem?
To me, that it's just, it's annoying and it's frustrating that Boehner would say that, you know, we fought the good fight, and he pretty much set it up. They put, you know, people, furloughed workers out of work, almost a million people, just so they could, you know, posture for 2 weeks, knowing full well that they're not going to get anything out of it, right?
Over a health care bill that's already a law.
Right, over something that, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, to me, Ted Cruz now enters a select few in my mind who include Miley Cyrus and Kim Kardashian as far as people who profit, you know, just profit from being like kind of just extreme.
And I thought you were going to say Justin Bieber
No, I get the feeling that he's just messing up, right? Yeah. He's just like doing things because he's an idiot. Whereas Miley Cyrus is like very deliberately. Anyway, back to Ted Cruz. I just hope that this doesn't become a pattern, you know what I mean? Where someone sees a shot, because a lot of people are saying now that Ted Cruz is going for the nomination in 2016, which I don't see happening, but at the same time, this whole, you know, shutdown, 2 weeks, whatever, was kind of playing into his plan, you know, and he's a smart guy. I don't like him very much, but he's pretty bright.
Well, and just a quick point on that is, especially with the Tea Party, to Republicans, people like Ted Cruz, the only people that they live in this bubble where the only people, their constituents, the only people that they talk to, and they're quote unquote American people, are the ones who are telling them that this is what they should be doing and this is how they should govern, when they just don't know the reality of the rest of the country and the majority of
Cheers to gerrymandering. Corey, last word on the topic. Do you feel like this is something that's going to be consistent? Is it going to happen again? Are we going to have the same, you know, struggles or, you know, things like raising the debt ceiling and paying our bills?
I think, unfortunately, in the House, we're going to have the same problems because of exactly what you just referenced, which is, you know, in the Senate, they have to govern the whole state and they kind of have to moderate the craziness, but these districts that they have, you know, in the House, like, everyone in that district can be batshit insane. So in order to not face a primary challenger from someone who's even further to the right than you are, these folks have to take some pretty extreme positions. Mm-hmm. So they're not really, you know, the House members who started this and who, you know, voted against the deal that just went through, unfortunately didn't really lose a whole lot in this proposition. The GOP as a whole and the Senate did, but, you know, these crazy folks who did this are kind of feeling like they said, like they fought the good fight and they lost. So they're thinking like, all right, well, when's the next time?
Right. Well, I think liberals should do similar to what they're doing with the Tea Party. Go so far to the left, tell people that you want to recycle condoms, you know, use that as the basis of your platform. Basically, it'll just it'll be like the MSNBC to the Fox. I really feel like that's,
I think they're trying to do that in San Francisco, but it looks like nobody comes around to pick them up.
I'm surprised they use condoms in San Francisco. I mean, seriously, you people are godless. No, but really, no. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Corey, so much for calling in up in the East Bay. We appreciate having you as always. Journalist and human rights activist Corey Hill, thank you again for joining us here on the Ring of Fire.
And have a good one.
Awesome. And we're going to wrap up here in just a couple more minutes here. We've got just a few more minutes. Now, before, I want you guys to play one more song if you can, if you don't mind. But I wanted to ask you a little bit about, I know you all, the Heavy, Heavy Hearts are our band tonight, our guest in studio, and they played a couple songs with us so far. But you guys are moving to Nashville, from what I hear. And why is that exactly? Is it just better music scene or?
I mean, it's a kind of a lot of things. We've been in L.A. now about a year exactly, almost actually next week. And I think one of the things that we've accomplished a lot, at least for a band perspective, in TV and movie stuff. We've had a couple placements that we can hang our hats on already. And we've made a lot of connections in TV and movies, which is great. That's what L.A. is all about. Mm-hmm. But as far as like the equivalent in the movie and TV industry of music, that would be Nashville. So with the four of us all being East Coasters originally, we just have more connections out in that direction. And I think, as you know, in general, we are much happier out in the East Coast. To have all of that culminated in one place, like mm-hmm. Nashville, I think it's just kind of, it's like a perfect mix of things. So
I want to ask you guys, do bands like I, one of the bands I like, is they're very popular, the Lumineers, basically moved from, relocated from New York to Denver. And I know that was a little bit because it was pretty expensive to live in New York. Mm-hmm. But I mean, do you guys, does that kind of give your band like a little bit of, I know you've already had some really nice success in TV and everything, but does that kind of give you guys that motivation a little bit, or that affirmation that, hey, you know, you can go, I mean, not that Nashville's a great, obviously a great town for that, but you don't have to necessarily be in New York or LA.
Yeah. I mean, I think that a lot of people come out to LA thinking that they're going to just blow up and become the next big thing. Mm-hmm. But there's just so many people here trying to do it, and the caliber of music has been kind of, like, the bar has been lowered, like in that one South Park. We gotta find that bar and bring it back up. And I feel like the bar, just like the standard of music, is a lot higher in Nashville, so, like, we want to be competing, and we want to be like, oh, you know, like, that was so cool. I want to learn what that guy did and steal it and do a Darius Rucker. You know?
I love Darius. let me ask you this, though. So you, how were you all able, because you've only been together for, well, at least your first show was about a year ago. So how have you been able to have so much success in such a short period of time when a lot of bands kind of struggle to have that? I mean, you guys have already landed TV spots and all that.
Just kicking ass to take names.
Well, just damn good.
I've lived here 5 years. Bo's been here roughly 3.5, right, or so. You know, Ralph's about the same as Bo, and Clark actually just got here about a month ago. But Bo actually works in music licensing, so he knows a lot of people already, and he's actually been plotting the course for the band before the band existed. So back when it was just Bo James, he was a solo artist, and that's actually how the band got started. Mm-hmm. The three of us were hired by Bo to come in and record, and actually Dirty Lies was his solo album. He's been working, you know, connections and networking for years, and when the band, you know, came around by mistake, basically, he's basically ready to go, and then, you know, the placements and stuff followed. So
I mean, you guys happened by mistake. Like, you were like how I was conceived, basically.
Yeah, no,
the condom broke, and we had a baby band.
We recorded for Bo, and he had a show with the Whiskey booked with no band. Uh-huh. He was like, hey, guys, you want to play? And we're like, yeah, man, whatever, you know. I like the Whiskey. So we did a show. They loved us. They brought us back. And after, I think it was the second show, we were just kind of like, man, that was a lot of fun.
It's pretty good.
We should keep doing it.
That's all. That's actually how Matt joined the show. He's just like, I like Whiskey. And I was like, no, the Whiskey. It's a club.
Oh, yeah.
We like Whiskey, too.
Yeah. and I want to, let's see how much time we've got. We've got just a few more minutes. One more quick question. As far as when you guys moved to Nashville, when do you actually move to Nashville? Like, how much can people in LA go in? Cause we do have a lot of LA listeners. Can they go check you out? Are you guys playing a show, you know, before you leave?
We have a big farewell show going on next Friday. It's at Harvell's. We love Harvell's.
Yeah. Harvell's is where?
Santa Monica on 4th Street and Broadway, I believe. Like near there.
Okay.
But we go in at 9. It's $10 to get in, but it's probably going to sell out. And okay. It's we leave the next morning to play Albuquerque.
Wow.
Yeah.
And this is what day or what night?
Friday night.
Friday night.
Next Friday night, 9:00.
Next Friday. 25th.
The 25th.
Yeah.
Be there or be
left out.
Or follow them to Albuquerque.
Bird's Tiki Labs.
Bird's we'll Tiki Lounge in Albuquerque.
We're playing with the Shakers, too. So it's actually us and the Shakers. It's going to be a really good bill.
Awesome.
It'll be a really good time.
Man. Awesome. Well, we wish you guys the best of luck in Nashville. And thank you so much for coming in studio.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for being here and to play us out. let me, actually, before we get to that, where can people catch you online? HeavyHeavyHearts.com or TheHeavyHeavyHearts.com?
Yeah, TheHeavyHeavyHearts.com or on Facebook. Mm-hmm. We're pretty avid Facebook users, so you can find us on there or Twitter. It's the Hiva. It's like because it's too long, so it's HVY Hearts.
Awesome. And we will have this interview up on YouTube and the website as well later this week. So look forward to that. And to play us out, Matt, can you hit the O'Reilly soundtrack here? Okay.
I closed it.
Oh, you closed it up, dude! You've been all over the soundtrack.
I know.
Well, to play us out, last song of the night, they will be playing. What is the next song? What's the last song you guys are playing?
This one, we just recorded this at Swing House Studios. So this one's called Lockdown a Lover.
Oh. Lockdown a Lover, baby.
I got it.
All right. Once you hear Bill O'Reilly, then you guys start. Lockdown a Lover by Heavy Heavy.
We'll do it live. Okay. We'll do it live! Come over here and let me know. The type of things to turn you on, things that make you lose control. So I won't know what it takes to make you. I won't know what it's gonna take. I won't know what it's gonna take. Oh, I won't know what it's gonna take. I won't know what it's gonna take. Please just give me a hint, help me connect these dots. Give me a key to unlock your love, cause I'd love to give you all that I got. Cause I won't know what it takes to make you. I won't know what it's gonna take. I won't know what it's gonna take. Oh, I won't know what it's gonna take. I won't know what it's gonna take to lock that love. Gonna take. I won't know what it's gonna take. Oh, I won't know what it's gonna take. I won't know what it's gonna take. Oh, I won't know what it's gonna take. I won't know what it's gonna take. Oh, I won't know what it's gonna take. I wanna know. Oh, I won't know what it's gonna take. I won't know what it's gonna take. Oh, I won't know what it's gonna take. I won't know what it's gonna take to lock down a lover. Lover like you. Oh, lover like you.
Yeah.